the past, and the licentiousness of cities will sometimes abate through discipline and fear, never of itself. Therefore, you need not believe that it is we who have yielded most to lust and least to law. For young men of today live far more simple lives than those of an epoch when a defendant would plead not guilty to an adultery charge before his judges, and his judges admit it before the defendant. When debauchery was practiced to secure a verdict, and when Clodius, befriended by the very vices of which he was guilty, played the procurer during the actual hearing of the case. Could one believe this? He to whom one adultery brought condemnation was acquitted because of many. All ages will produce men like Clodius, but not all ages men like Cato. We degenerate easily, because we lack neither guides nor associates in our wickedness, and the wickedness goes on of itself, even without guides or associates. The road to vice is not only downhill, but steep, and many men are rendered incorrigible by the fact that, while in all other crafts, errors bring shame to good craftsmen and cause vexation to those who go astray, the errors of life are a positive source of pleasure. The pilot is not glad when his ship is thrown on her beam ends. The physician is not glad when he buries his patient. The orator is not glad when the defendant loses a case through the fault of his advocate. But on the other hand, every man enjoys his own crimes. A delights in an intrigue, for it was the very difficulty which attracted him thereto. B delights in forgery and theft, and is only displeased with his sin when his sin has failed to hit the mark. And all this is the result of perverted habits. Conversely, however, in order that you may know that there is an idea of good conduct present subconsciously in souls which have been led even into the most depraved ways, and that men are not ignorant of what evil is, but indifferent, I say that all men hide their sins, and, even though the issue be successful, enjoy the results while concealing the sins themselves. A good conscience, however, wishes to come forth and be seen of men. Wickedness fears the very shadows. Hence I hold Epicurus' saying to be the most apt, that the guilty may haply remain hidden is possible, that he should be sure of remaining hidden is not possible. Or, if you think that the meaning can be made more clear in this way, the reason that it is no advantage to wrongdoers to remain hidden is that even though they have the good fortune, they have not the assurance of remaining so. This is what I mean. Crimes can be well guarded. Free from anxiety, they cannot be. This view, I maintain, is not at variance with the principles of our school, if it be so explained. And why? Because the first and worst penalty of sin is to have committed sin. And crime, though fortune deck it out with her favors, though she protect and take it in her charge, can never go unpunished, since the punishment of crime lies in the crime itself. But nonetheless do these second penalties press close upon the heels of the first. Constant fear, constant terror, and distrust in one's own security. Why, then, should I set wickedness free from such a punishment? Why should I not always leave it trembling in the balance? Let us disagree with Epicurus on the one point when he declares that there is no natural justice, and that crime should be avoided because one cannot escape the fear which results therefrom. Let us agree with him on the other, that bad deeds are lashed by the whip of conscience, and that conscience is tortured to the greatest degree because unending anxiety drives and whips it on, and it cannot rely upon the guarantors of its own peace of mind. For this, Epicurus is the very proof that we are by nature reluctant to commit crime, because even in circumstances of safety, there is no one who does not feel fear. Good luck frees many men from punishment, but no man from fear. And why should this be, if it were not that we have ingrained in us a loathing for that which nature has condemned? Hence, even men who hide their sins can never count upon remaining hidden, for their conscience convicts them and reveals them to themselves. But it is the property of guilt to be in fear. It had gone ill with us, owing to the many crimes which escape the vengeance of the law and the prescribed punishments. Were it not that those grievous offenses against nature